Okay, and we've got Rams who will come this morning and bring God's word to us.
Thank you so much. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's a great privilege to be here with you all to bring God's word to you all. I know faithful pastors have been standing on this pulpit for more than 150 years. So it is indeed a great joy to be on the same pulpit to bring God's word to you. Let me begin by telling a little bit about myself to you all. My name is Graham. I'm from China. This is my fourth year here at Reformed Theological Seminary. I'm married to my better half, Emily, and we have two adorable children. They are, my son, Caleb, is about to be 2 years old in next month, and we have a daughter who is 1 month old. And that is probably why my wife didn't come with me, because our daughter, Abigail, is too young to travel for more than 2 hours. So it is a great joy for me to be here. Let me invite you all to open God's word with me to Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 14 to verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to verse 16. Hear the word of God. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pray with me. Father God, we are so thankful that we can gather together on this Lord's Day to worship you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will fill up this place and fill up our hearts so that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. But we desire that you would speak to us through your word. Give us encouragement. Give us comfort. Give us guidance and instructions that we need. And we pray all these things in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's one thing I'm certain. Everyone in this congregation faces suffering and temptation at some point in your life. Believers and non-believers alike all face suffering and temptations. Non-believers face illness and losses, so as believers. But for believers, there's a set of unique challenges that come with being a Christian. The world is growing to be more and more hostile to Christianity. And we may not face persecution as great as the early church fathers or nations in Asia or some other continents. But the secular culture in the States is becoming more and more hostile. So how do we face suffering and temptation? The author of Hebrews gave us three practical advice on how we should face suffering and temptation. But let us begin by looking at the two main points that the author of Hebrews gave us before we look at the three practical advice. Look at verse 14 with me. Since then we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. So the first thing the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ has gone through the heavens. All of us who are familiar with the Old Testament knows that in the Old Testament, only the high priest is allowed to enter the Holy of Holies once a year to make sacrifices not only for the Israelites, but also for himself. Because not only the Israelites were sinful, but so is the high priest. And they go there once a year, and they go there repeatedly. And even the Holy of Holies is but a symbolic representation of what's going to come. But what did the author of Hebrews in chapter 4 tell us? He tells us that we have a great high priest. This is the first time the word great high priest being used. All the other times in the Bible we see high priest, but here we have a description of a great high priest. Because indeed, Jesus Christ is superior to all the other high priests. And the author of Hebrews tells us that he has gone through the heavens. He did not, like the Old Testament priests, symbolically come to the Holy of Holies. He comes to where God is. He comes to the throne of God's grace. He is where God is right now. And he is interceding for us right this moment. Don't all of us need Jesus Christ's intercessory prayers? Remember, in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan intend to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. All of us here needs Jesus' prayer. If Jesus is not praying for us at this moment, our faith will not prevail, that we would certainly fail. And this is one of the main points that the author of Hebrews wants to bring to our attention. But there's a second main point he wants to emphasize. That is in verse 15. Look at verse 15 with me. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Notice the contrast. The Old Testament high priests simply were not able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because they indeed were sinful human beings. They faced challenges in their unique context, in their unique time. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was made like us. And he was tempted as we are. He has faced all the temptations one can face. Now, one may ask, we live in the 21st century. Now, certainly, Jesus Christ wasn't tempted with video games or the technology of the 21st century. That's a good question, but remember, even though our Lord Jesus Christ did not face those temptations on the surface, but at the heart, in essence of every temptation, there are two things at play. And the Lord Jesus Christ has faced both of those things. So the first category is the temptation to avoid pain, the temptation to avoid suffering. And the second category is the temptation to increase pleasure, to fulfill our selfish desires. And our Lord Jesus Christ has faced both of those in essence. How did the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ face the temptation of to avoid suffering? We all remember the account that was recorded in the Gospels when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father, let this cup pass from me. The pain and the suffering were indeed so great that Jesus was sweating drops of blood. And he prayed, God, let this cup pass from me. He faced that temptation to avoid pain. But what did Jesus Christ pray next? He said, not as I will, but as you will. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ faced that temptation, but he overcame. He overcame that temptation so that he can strengthen us when we face the same temptation to avoid pain and suffering, that we know that he understands our pain. But there's a second category, that is to fulfill our own selfish desires. How did Jesus encounter that temptation? We all know in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Satan took Jesus and lashed all those temptations against our Lord Jesus. And one of the temptations was Satan saying to Jesus, if you bow down to me, all the kingdoms that you see will be given to you. And Jesus faced that temptation. But what did Jesus respond? He said, you shall worship the Lord your God alone. Once again, Jesus overcame that temptation. Jesus triumphed through that temptation. So both of those things are important for us to understand. One is that Jesus Christ passed through the heavens. And second, that Jesus Christ faced all the temptations one can imagine and overcame them. But the author of Hebrews didn't stop there. The author of Hebrews knows that the Jewish Christians needed to hear those things, but they also needed to hear some practical instructions. The author of Hebrews knows that the Jewish Christians were facing a lot of persecution. The Roman government is increasing their persecution against Jewish Christians. And the temptation for the Jewish Christians is to turn away from Christianity and come back to Judaism. But the author of Hebrews gives three practical instructions to them to tell them to not forsake their faith, to hold fast. Look at the second part of verse 14. The author of Hebrews says, let us hold fast our confession. Indeed, it is important for Jewish Christians to hear that, to hear the encouraging words, to hold fast our confession. What does the word confession here mean? The word confession here simply means our faith in our God. He knows that there will be days where you have to face persecution and suffering. And he knows it is important for us to hold fast our faith. I was greatly encouraged in one of the stories of the early church father, Polycarp. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. He followed Christ for many, many decades. But at the end of his life, he was seized by Roman soldiers, and they brought him, and they were about to persecute him. They were about to burn him on the pillar of fire. And they give him only one condition. And that is, if you turn back, if you forsake your God, we will let you go. But listen to the words that Polycarp said. He said to the Roman soldiers, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he never wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who saved me? That's a worthy, that's a truly a spiritual giant of our faith. 86 years, our Lord Jesus Christ has never wronged him. Many of us here who have walked with the Lord for decades, many, many decades. But when suffering came, but when persecution comes, will we have the same perseverance? Will we have the same faith as Polycarp had? He has never wronged us. Let us hold fast our confession. I remember one of the things that the chancellor of our Reformed Theological Seminary, Ligon Duncan, said. He said, one of the first things that he does every morning is to get up and to believe. To get up and to believe. He said, if he does not believe, he will not help the students at the seminary. Because after the students graduate from the seminary, when they go out, the secular culture will not help them believe. And so are all of us here. Our families and our friends and the church, the brothers and sisters from the same church needed us to believe, to be strengthened in our faith. So that's the first prayer practical application that the author of Hebrew gave to the Jewish Christians. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a leader from another small church. Being in seminary have given me the privilege of preaching at many, many churches. We call it the circuit. And the leader from that church told me that because of the COVID pandemic, many have just drifted. Many have stopped coming to church. They stopped coming at all. And the thing that saddened me the most was not that the people would go to a different church, but they stopped coming to church at all. I think they exactly needed to hear the encouragements from Hebrews chapter 4. Let us take heed to the instruction from the author of Hebrews. But there's a second application, second instruction in verse 16. Look at verse 16 with me. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Indeed, some Jewish Christians have lost confidence. They have lost confidence in their God. But the author of Hebrews tells them, do not lose confidence. Let us draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. The throne of grace here is a picture of where God is. And the author says to not only the Jewish Christian, but also to us, to come to him with confidence. He tells us that we come to God with confidence because Jesus Christ was tempted as we are. Yet, excuse me, yet without sin. Jesus Christ who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, took on human flesh and became one of us. Can you imagine the temptations that he had to face? Being a king, being the God of creation, and he took on human flesh, was put in a manger. And later in his life, he says that he has no place to lay his head. And before he was to be crucified, the Roman soldiers spit on him and they lashed against him. Can you imagine all the sufferings that he had to go through? And the author of Hebrews is saying that he truly understands our temptation. He knows our pain. And that is why we draw near to him with confidence. Because he gets our pain. He understands our pain. Once again, I think of the German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. When the World War II starts, he was in America, and he said to, he was asked to where he would go. He did that. He said that if I do not go back to Germany right now, how can I serve them when the war ended? This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He takes on human flesh. He was made like us. He endures all the sufferings so that we can come to him with confidence. So that is a second instruction. But there's a third and final instruction found in the second part of verse 16. The author tells us, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the Old Testament, only one person is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. They need an intercession. They need somebody to bring their requests to God. But in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter tells us, now we are a royal priesthood. All of us, me included, are a royal priesthood. We are all God's priests. What does that mean? That means that we can come to God whenever we want to. We can come to God to receive mercy and find grace to help whenever needed. Pastor H.B. Charles gave this wonderful illustration. He said, you know the difference between an ATM and a bank? He said, when you go to a bank, you have to go to the bank during the business hours, 8 to 5, whenever. But not so when you go to the ATM. If you need to withdraw some money, you can go to the ATM 24/7. Whenever there's a need, you can go. And that is so with our God. We can come to God the Father through Jesus Christ whenever we want. Whenever there is a need, you can come to God the Father. Indeed, Jesus tells us, come to him Bring all your burdens. Cast all your anxieties on him. He said, his yoke is easy. He didn't say that there will not be any yoke. Indeed, we have our bearing. We have our burdens to bear as a Christian. But he did promise that if you come to him, he will promise to send you his Holy Spirit to be with you. I don't know where you are in the faith. But remember, if you come to God without Jesus Christ, God will be a fearful God. But if you come to God through Jesus Christ, he will be like a loving father who opens his arms to his wonderful children, whoever come and run to him. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your love through your only Son, Jesus Christ. But we pray all of us who hear this message will be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Strengthen our faith. Help us to overcome all our temptations by the power of your name. Lord, we thank you. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.